And I'm joined on the telephone line now by a lady who should be very well known to all of you, Dr. Dawn Harper, the TV doctor. Very good morning to you, Dr. Dawn.
Good morning to you, Pamela.
Now, the reason you're on the phone today is a survey that has come out that is revealing that there are so many of us, one in four, self-diagnose illness online. And I would say, I would have actually thought it possibly was more than that, because people just do tend to think, oh, I've got this wrong with me, I'm going to look it up on a search engine.
I might even agree with you actually, Pamela, in that I can't remember the last surgery I did when Dr. Google didn't raise his head. You know, and usually people have gone online, they have Google symptoms. Interestingly, about two-thirds of those will have come to an incorrect diagnosis. And what I tend to see in surgery is people coming in absolutely terrified. They've printed off a wadge of paper. They've self-diagnosed something which is usually quite rare and often fairly serious, and they're terrified. The truth of the matter is that common things are common, and often I can reassure them and say, actually, no, that isn't quite right. That said, the internet is here to stay, and I welcome it. I think it's a very good source of information as long as we're using the correct sites. And equally, Pamela, I could say to you, I can't remember the last surgery I did when I didn't use the internet. I often send people off either with a piece of paper with a particular website for them to look up more information, or I go online during the consultation myself and print things off for people. Because we are pressurized. I have 12 minutes to deal with all your health concerns, and that is a preciously small amount of time. So anything I can do to improve the information I give to people, I think, is a good thing.
Well, exactly. I mean, the internet does have its place in both with the medical profession, and I know a lot of people would be surprised that the medical profession use it, but there are always constant changes, constant improvements, and constant findings going on in the medical profession.
Absolutely. So I think my practice has changed hugely in the time I've been a GP. I certainly make far more telephone calls than I used to. I communicate by email with patients. And I think the next move is the kind of thing that Push Doctor are offering, and that is online consultations. So this is a service that you can access between 6 and 10, 7 days a week. I think patients will like it because it's very convenient. I like it because this particular site only uses GMC-registered doctors, and for me, one of the most important things when we were looking at this kind of online service is that there is guaranteed security. Patient confidentiality is absolutely core to NHS practice. So for me, knowing that you're dealing with a service that has fully qualified registered doctors and absolute confidentiality is very important. And the service actually interacts really nicely with the NHS because the practice is to communicate back. So if you, as my patient, go online and use Push Doctor, unless you specifically request it, your information will be communicated back to me so that I know what's going on. And it means that you can get a convenient appointment whenever you want it. It frees me up because, interestingly, 80% of the people that I see in surgery, I don't actually need to touch. And I probably need to see. So this gives a very high quality video link because you'd be amazed at how much information you can get from seeing someone. You can tell how much pain they're in. You can see somebody who is poorly or somebody who's actually coping relatively well. You can see somebody is looking very anxious or looking depressed. And we subconsciously and consciously take in all that information so that actually we are picking up a story from you before we ever lay a finger on you, even if we need to.
Do you think people are turning more towards the internet because they feel they can't get through to the doctor, or you know, when you phone up and say, I'd like an appointment, and they say, well, it's going to be 3 weeks on Thursday before you get the appointment? Is that why we are turning more to the internet to try and self-diagnose before we get to the GP?
I certainly think that's part of it. We're all using the internet more for everything, but absolutely, I hear patients all the time who say to me they've had to wait for 2 weeks or 3 weeks to see me. And that's a frustration on both sides of the fence, Pamela. There's no question about that. So I think something like this service, you know, a Push Doctor thing where people can get quick, easy, reliable access, actually is a really good thing. It means that we can alleviate fears very quickly. If there is something more serious going on, then actually the doctors on this service can point you in the right direction. They can, if you do need to see somebody, they can reassure you that actually that's really important. They can tell you what you need to say to the receptionist, for example, and how quickly you need to be seen. Or they may suggest that you go to a different service. And I think one of the things that has happened in recent years is we've got more and more choice into how we access healthcare. That's a really good thing. But sometimes for some people that can create a degree of confusion. People don't want to get it wrong. I hear my A&E colleagues moaning all the time that they're seeing patients that should have been in general practice. That's not because patients want to get it wrong. It's because either they don't know or they're frustrated by the availability of the currently available services. So anything that improves that, I think, is a good thing.
Yeah, and pharmacists play such an important role as well for the advertisements we see for minor ailments. You know, talk to your pharmacist and they could possibly help out. And if they, I mean, they will quite happily say, no, I actually do think you need to go and see your GP about this.
Pamela, you have really hit on my soapbox there. I think we totally underestimate pharmacists in the UK. They are not white coats that dole out pills prescribed by doctors. They're highly qualified individuals. We now, thankfully, most of our pharmacies will have consulting rooms so that you can speak confidentially to the pharmacist. And I do think that, you know, in the past you might have been wanting to talk about your piles, but the lady next door to you is buying hairspray.
Yes.
And, you know, this gentleman on your left is buying deodorant, and actually just it feels inappropriate. I think they're an excellent first port of call for a lot of minor ailments. And the other thing is, actually, I know that I have a practice which is next door to a pharmacy, actually. And if a pharmacist says, do you know what, no, you need to see your GP, if you come through to a receptionist and you say, the pharmacist has said I need to see a doctor, you will find that you'll get to see a doctor that day. So actually, they are a good way of fast-tracking if it's appropriate, and if it's not appropriate, they are a fantastic source of information.
I have to say, I've a similar service. The pharmacist is next door to my GP's practice, and I have availed of that service. I actually went into the GP's practice one day, spoke to the receptionist and said, look, this is what's going on. And she said, well, tell you what, the nurse could have a quick look, you know, if you don't mind waiting, you know, about 10, 15 minutes. No, absolutely fine. So, and also likewise, the GP, whenever I had to go and see her, she said, I don't know enough about this subject. Leave it with me and I'll be in touch. And it was fantastic. Absolutely superb. I do think the NHS and our GPs do get an awful lot of stick where it's not necessary.
Oh, that's lovely to hear, Pamela. And, you know, I think we have a lot to be proud of in the NHS. But I think we hear an awful lot, and we have done over the years, a lot about our rights. And I think actually we've got to the stage now where we also need to think a little bit about responsibilities. We all need to look after the NHS and use her appropriately. And if that means actually accessing other services, be it going to your pharmacist, using something like Push Doctor, you know, using online facilities appropriately, and I'm very cautious that we make sure we use the right websites when we're doing that. But actually all of those things, I think we can work together to maintain what actually is a brilliant service.
And as you say, I was saying at the start of this interview, a little information can be a dangerous thing. And when you go on the internet and try and find out, you know, putting your symptoms in, 9 times out of 10, as you say, it really will come up with the worst case scenario that then puts us into a flat spin.
Well, of course, if you're given a differential diagnosis of various different things, it's going to be the most serious one that you're going to worry about. And that's going to be the one that you focus on. It's a little bit like, for me, if I was going to Google something about tax advice, I wouldn't necessarily know which would be the most reliable sources to go to. If I go online about something medical, of course, I can tell straight away which are the good sites and which are the ones to avoid, like the plague. Mm. And I think it's very difficult sometimes for lay people to know which health information is reliable. So knowing that you're dealing with a very reliable and NHS-linked service, I think, is a really good thing.
And I think it's very interesting, this report that Push Doctor have brought out, the most commonly searched for health conditions in the UK, and it's listed by towns and cities, and the most commonly one, number 4, in Belfast, 85 out of 100 people search for rheumatism.
And interestingly, Belfast had the most searches of any city in the UK, so you're clearly a very health-conscious place.
Or else just full of hypochondriacs.
Either way, we need to help you.
Well, listen, Dr. Odd, thank you so much indeed for coming on today. It's fascinating, and Push Doctor, it does sound like a very interesting service, because I know the NHS tried their online service for a while and there were an awful lot of problems with it. So this will be an interesting one. As you say, it goes hand in hand with the NHS as well.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much indeed, Dr. Dawn Harper. Just talking about self-diagnosis and how likely we are to go online and try and find out what is wrong with us. I remember many years ago, I think the Reader's Digest still exists, but they used to have an article in the Reader's Digest that said, I am so-and-so's liver, or I am so-and-so's stomach, or I am so-and-so's knee. And then you would go through and these things that could possibly go wrong with you. Then I had a friend who was a complete hypochondriac. Jack. And as soon as he read that, but that's it. That's what I've got. Yes, that's. I'm not well, and I need to go and see the doctor. So once again, a little information can be a dangerous thing.